AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, a new season, but surprising new things. This is Tariq joining you along with Karan.
Hey guys.
And Vishal.
Hey people.
So, a lot of new things to discuss. Interesting start to the season. We have had surprises. We have had things which are still the same. And we have had things which we do not really know what direction they'll be heading. So we'll try to make sense of all of that as usual on Soccer Sense, the football podcast that talks about the sensible things in soccer and points out the stuff that's not so sensible. Okay, so let's start, gentlemen, with the surprise story of the season so far. Only three games in, but Leicester City at the top of the table.
Yep. So not a surprise really, because one, they've really carried on from where they left last season. Yes, there's change in management in terms of bringing in Claudio Ranieri into the team. They've brought in a seasoned experienced manager to replace Nigel Pearson. So it's a good move, and they've not really changed the core of the team as well. The core of the team remains the same. They've added a few signings, and they pretty much carried on from where they left last season.
I think the clever thing that they did is they went for somebody who has experience in managing in England. And let's face it, he was pretty much, even to this day, a kind of a cult figure even in Chelsea. But he's pretty smart in the sense that he's a very good people person, so he knows how to get the best out of players. And the kind of spirit that Leicester showed at the end of last season is just continued, and honestly, they actually deserve to be on the top of the table right now.
Like I said, the thing that, like Karan said, the experience that he has ensured that he did one thing right is not change the backroom staff of Leicester. So he came and he pretty much said that he's going to stick to the same staff that Nigel Pearson used, which means for the players that there's not going to be change in training, there's not going to be change in things that they used to for the last 2-3 years. And as a result, you can see the enthusiasm, the raw.
So this is a team, now we're just three games in, and that's barely anything to make. A complete analysis, but is this something that we'll see throughout the season? Can Leicester sustain a level of performance which could see them end up, let's say, mid-table?
That's definitely possible. I mean, I'm sure
they've added to a squad. They have a deeper squad now, so there's rotation possible, which is not possible for most of last season. So there's rotation possible. They've added players like Inler, who's again experienced, who's an experienced midfielder who'll only add class to the squad. And they've also changed the style of football, where it has become even less of physical and more football-led, so just reducing the scope for injury. So I think a top 15 finish is where I see Leicester.
I would actually go further and say they're good enough to actually finish in the top 10, the way they've played.
So here's what might happen, Karan, though, that Leicester, the good start, what it does is probably eliminates the problems of fighting for relegation.
Absolutely.
Later
so
they just need 33 more points.
Exactly. And let's face it, looking at the way some of the other teams have done, like Sunderland, Newcastle and West Brom haven't been too impressive so far. So the fact that they're
at 2 points this stage of the season, including Villa, Sunderland, Newcastle, Bournemouth won yesterday, but Watford are looking good. But a lot of the clubs who will be fighting for relegation are at 2, 1 and 0 points. And here they're at 7 points, so they're already better off. They're already way better off. They're already 2 games ahead in terms of score points, and that's always a luxury to have.
So let's do a run through now of the other major teams.
To really think about it, that's why Newcastle survived last season, because of a good start.
Early start was very good. And they're in the top half of the table. So,
fourth at one point at the table.
They're chasing a Champions League place and then ended up being a relegation battle. Yep. Speaking of the other teams, let's quickly look at the rest of the contenders. Joint top, surprisingly, Manchester United.
Yes.
Clean sheets in all three games, not scoring, but it is branding the result out.
So clean sheet, I think it's too early to talk about because their defense has not been tested yet. They've not been exposed to an outright offensive lineup yet. So I think we will be in a far better position when they play the likes of Man City after the international breaks and all that, where I think the defense will be tested. I still don't think there's a watertight defense in any sense of the way. And offensively, yes, lots lacking. There's They're lacking in pace from midfield. They're lacking pace from... They're lacking vision from midfield right now, currently. I do not know. I think Schweinsteiger, Carrick and all of them will add. But right now, they're definitely lacking vision and pace coming out of midfield. And most importantly, they need a backup for Rooney, because Rooney is not a number 9. He is not a box striker. He needs to be given a free role. He will be far more dangerous if he can drop into midfield and create chances for somebody along with scoring goals. That's the best position for Rooney.
And he hasn't been scoring goals.
Yep.
So it's been
about
13
games since he last scored goals.
I think he's
United.
Just scored about 3 this year, this calendar year, so
this
far, 3 or 4.
So obviously it's clear that his position is wrong, the place they're playing him is wrong. So I think Van Gaal has like about a good 7-8 days to fix this. If he doesn't fix this, I think United, as the season goes, will struggle, because one injury to Rooney, and who do you have left? Hernandez cannot be dependent on as an out-and-out striker and as a first-choice striker. So,
These are the troubles for one team in Manchester. The other team in Manchester, though, off to a flyer of a start, including beating Chelsea 3-0.
Yeah, they've been really impressive. I think a lot of the issues that they had last season have all been addressed. Let's face it, Kompany, for example, didn't really look at his fittest last season. Yaya Toure's head wasn't right, but they've got that all that sorted. And the fact that, you know, both of them are at their peak in many ways, you could say, fitness-wise, as well as performance-wise, is making a huge difference.
Right. On their day, they are the best team in the Premier League. No doubts about it. They have the best squad in the Premier League. They have the best players in the Premier League. On their day, if they decide to turn it on, nobody can beat them. It is just like what Karan said, the moody character of the team. So I would still wait and hold on to see how moody they can look. For example, the minute Yaya Toure turns off, Man City as a team turns off, because he is the driving force of the team, as much as people like to accept it or not. Yaya Toure is the driving force, so it will depend a lot on if they can maintain this level. But if they maintain this level, it's going to be a blowout of a season for Man City. I think
so
they will have it.
So in short, they should remember to send the birthday card to Yaya.
Please,
and
send him one every month if you have to.
Send him a cake as well, by United.
Okay, and moving on to Chelsea and the shock 3-0 defeat. The poorest start by a defending champion since Arsenal in 92-93.
I thought it was going to be United.
Things are not exactly looking very bright for Chelsea and Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. I think one, in the transfer market, they were a little bit complacent this season by not adding players early on. And now they're adding players, they're adding Pedro, they just signed a player from Brazil. So I think it's very reactive in nature in terms of signings, not necessarily looking if they really require those players. So Chelsea are a bit complacent, and sudden realization that, oh my God, they have... So if you remember last season, the teams that pushed Chelsea were the teams that ran at Chelsea's defence. And yeah, Swansea ran at Chelsea's defence, Man City came at Chelsea's defence, and they clearly showed the lack of pace that sits in Chelsea's defence, because you have Ivanovic, you have Terry, and Cahill, even though not old, he's not very quick.
Terry was
substituted,
which probably is
the first ever
symbolic
time,
which the of,
first
of
ever
the problems they faced
under Jose Mourinho. So Chelsea have definitely been complacent. So I'm not sure the signings that they're making are going to really add value. Though Pedro is a good player, but what does he do at Chelsea, I'm not sure yet. So we'll have to figure out what
other than deny United the chance.
Probably that was maybe a secret intent as well.
Yeah, I think United are doing the scouting for other clubs this season. So anyways, I think Chelsea have been extremely reactive, extremely complacent this season. They might pay the price, but you never know. It's still too early. Jose Mourinho and that squad can still turn it around any day they want.
And speaking of London, at least one team is consistent.
Yeah.
Tottenham Hotspur. But let's go to the other team, which is Arsenal. And of course, if you're talking about the top 5 or 6, you've got to talk about Liverpool.
Yep.
At the fringes.
Yep.
Arsenal versus Liverpool coming up
on Monday.
Probably a perfect battle for both of them to lay down an early marker. They need one in this season.
Yeah, I mean, so Arsenal didn't really make the best of starts. They were honestly quite outplayed in the opening game against West Ham at home, which was a bit of a surprise. But they bounced back pretty well against Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say they were overly impressive, but then it was a good win. And
it's not an easy win. Yeah.
It's a very difficult place these days.
Yeah.
And Liverpool, honestly, again, similar to United, haven't looked very impressive, but bottom line is 6 points out of 6. Gives the team a lot of confidence. Coutinho seems to be doing quite well, and I think it's going to be a pretty even contest.
Yep.
So, how do you see Liverpool versus Arsenal panning out?
I see Arsenal coming out on top of this, because one, Liverpool are still a fresh team. They're not really used to playing with each other, and a big game too early, I think, for them, where the squad is just getting used to each other. So I think Arsenal will come out on top, because it's a settled squad versus a new squad who really don't know each other's strengths.
Are they playing at the Emirates?
Oh, yeah.
They're playing at the Emirates.
Yeah, then definitely I would fancy Arsenal, because even if you look at Liverpool's previous game against Bournemouth, they went overly impressive. They were a bit lucky to actually get the result.
In fact,
but
Bournemouth ran at them
exactly
with pace, which is exactly what Arsenal are going to do.
I still go with Arsenal.
Okay, looks like it is with Arsenal, but interesting if Liverpool can come out with a draw. 3 points would be quite unthinkable, but more unthinkable things have happened this season so far. We will see how this season develops and bring you more as the weeks go on Soccer Sense. Do join us next week. In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
And Vishal.
Start praying for United already.
Again.